bird in the tall oak tree. The wise are loud, the big black crow, flap for their wings, singing go, bird, go. Rock and Robin,
sweet, sweet, sweet.
Rock and Robin,
sweet, sweet.
Go, rock and Robin, go, we're really gonna rock tonight.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And that music means our friends from the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center are stopping by. And we have in studio with us today Abby Holden. She is an outreach naturalist at the Carpenter Nature Center. And she brought bugs today, but she also brought flowers. So that's the only reason why she gets to stay.
The flowers I actually had off last week, and I came back this week, and the flowers are amazing.
The flowers are gorgeous. So thank you very much. So those are all from the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center.
Yeah.
So I know irises and I know peonies. Am I saying it right? Or peony? How do you
peonies,
say?
Peonies, yep.
And then what are some of the other ones?
So that's what's in this jar. There's a couple different types of peonies and then the two irises. And then also blooming that you can see are the lupin this time of year. So they're real tall, skinny ones. They're purple or like a blue, you know, darkish purple blue, and they're all in the prairie, so they're a wildflower we have. And then prairie smoke is also blooming. They've been up for a while, but now they're, instead of hanging upside down, they're flipped up the right way, and their little fluffy seed heads are showing. So those are both two that you can see.
Is this just a wonderful time of year?
And honestly, I even went to the gas station this morning here in Hastings, and there's a row of lilacs, and it was like coming out of the gas station. It's like just like a wall of perfume hits you, you know, because they're so strong smelling and so beautiful. They're one of my favorites, actually.
Me too. Are lilacs kind of late this year? It seems
I thought they were also late as well, but you never know. I feel like mine and up in Hudson in my yard are always a bit later than down here, so it gets hard to tell, I think.
Well, so tell me why you brought all these wonderful bugs.
So I brought bugs today, and specifically cicadas, because
I'm very interested in knowing about cicadas. So here's the deal. Cicadas have been all over the news. Mm-hmm. I did not realize that they disappear for a while. There's a certain kind that has been gone for 17 years.
Yeah, so there's two types of cicadas. One is annual cicadas, which come back yearly. You know, we hear them in the summer here every summer.
And what sort of a sound do they make?
They make like a buzzing sound. So it's almost like if you took a cricket chirp but made it longer and louder.
Okay.
And their calls are so loud. I actually just looked this up today. They're very, very loud. They can reach 120 decibels. So just to give you a reference of like how loud 120 decibels is, an aircraft during takeoff is 180 decibels. A lawnmower is 90, and fireworks are 140. Chainsaws are 110. So between 100 and 120 decibels are the sound that a male cicada makes. He's the one that does all the singing. The girls don't, just the males. Can reach about the level of a chainsaw noise, which is just insane, right?
It is. So when you hear that sound, mm-hmm. it's not 100 of them. It's just one?
So there is a lot of them, right? So it is one can make a sound up to 120 decibels. But
here, let's see if I can hear. Oh, there's going to play
a commercial.
A commercial first. We don't want to hear a commercial. But I do want to hear this sound. Let's see.
It's deafening. Okay. When you get these large emergencies, like that's been all over the news, it's just deafening.
Let's see if I can pull it up soon. Anyway, so tell me what else I should know about cicadas. Because why the heck have they been on the news?
Yeah, so this year, a lot of times you're hearing people refer to it as Brood X. It's actually Brood 10. So these periodical ones that hide in the soil underground for 13 or 17 years.
Do they really?
Yeah, are all labeled with a Roman numeral. So it's not quite Brood X, it's Brood 10.
Brood 10, okay.
And so these ones have been as a nymph or in their larval stage for 17 years in the soil.
How have they stayed there and not been disrupted?
Yeah, so they actually have like a probing mouth part, and they drink the sap from the trees through the roots.
So they still are alive? Mm-hmm. Of course, because they're what'd you say?
They're in their nymph stage, or like the larval stage. So similar to like if you're familiar with a dragonfly, right, as an adult dragonfly, they actually start as their nymph or larval stage in the water, and then they come up on a blade of grass or a cattail and go through their metamorphosis and shed their exoskeleton and become the dragonfly. Cicadas are the same way.
Okay, here's
just
my
sound the noise. Yeah. And it's, you can imagine, you know, it's in some places where this brood X or brood 10 is happening, there's 1.5 million cicadas per square mile. That's insane.
Where have they been, or how do they last this long? I don't quite understand it.
Yeah, so they just have the ability to last in that nymph stage or larval stage in the soil, but they basically have an internal clock for them to come out, the certain species, 17 years and 13 years. There's some research that they have indicators based, they can count the years based on like the trees. So all of this brood 10 takes place in states where we have a summer and a winter. So they can tell the year passing by the summer, you know, stopping, the change in sap flow. So one time, one of this brood X in Cincinnati, they had a really late freeze, killed all the leaves. So the trees had to leaf out twice in one season. So that batch of these brood X cicadas actually hatched in 16 years instead of 17 because there were 17 times that the trees leafed out. So they are just really, really in tune with what's going on around them, even though they're buried under the ground.
Are you as fascinated by this as I am?
Yeah, they're awesome. It's super amazing. And so we get ones here. The brood X, unfortunately, doesn't reach us. I think the border is like in Ohio. I can't quite remember where the northern border is. So we won't get them here in Hastings, but we get the annual cicadas here in Hastings. So I brought you an exoskeleton.
Oh, great.
So even our annual ones here in Hastings live in that nymph stage in the soil for 2 years. Not as impressive as 17, but still really impressive. And when they come out of the soil, they'll latch onto a tree or to the side of your house or anything like that, and they're shed out of that exoskeleton they have from the nymph stage to become an adult. So you can find these exoskeletons all on the side of your house or trees. They are pretty creepy. Cicadas have very big eyes.
That actually looks like one, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're it's just their same body shape. So I kind of explained to kids, you know, we have our skeleton, our bones on the inside of your body, right? And they grow with you as you get bigger. Well, insects have exoskeletons, so it's almost like wearing a really tight shirt. So if you want to grow any bigger, you have to take that one off and get a new one, right? So when they first emerge from that hard shell, they're pretty soft, and then as the air makes contact with it, they'll harden back up. So that's the
kind of like ice cream cones with that chocolate sauce on them.
Yeah, kind of. For sure. And I brought you, this is a very big display. There's an adult cicada.
Oh, so it is bigger.
Mm-hmm. So you can see a little bit of the body change. They have the wings, right, that they didn't have in the nymph stage. Their head shape's a bit different. So they do change shape once they come out of that exoskeleton.
So it's called exoskeleton, mm-hmm. meaning it's the outer part.
Yep, on the outside.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you can take that.
So sorry. You can look for these exoskeletons all over your yard and things like that. So we'll hear that same cicada call you made. They each have a different call, a little bit, the different species. We'll have a different call, but we will still get them here, and you'll still hear them. They do say, too, that based on the call, how loud it is, how intense it is, you can actually tell how hot it is. My ear is not that well trained, but apparently they change their intensity and frequency of their call based on the temperature.
Because the air changes it, or they're crying out in a different way?
I think they're just reacting, right, to their environment, but they're still using the same organ and method to make the call. They're just reacting to the temperature.
So what is the purpose of being underground for 17 years? Why is that? Because in nature, don't we have a purpose of why different characteristics develop over years? So
yeah.
What would that one be?
You know, I'm not sure why 17 years. You know, like I can see the 2 years that we get for the annual ones here, just getting enough nutrients to grow really big. So they're going to grow, you know, from a tiny little egg into that size nymph here. And then they do grow a little bit bigger as an adult, but they mostly do all their growing in that nymph stage. So I'm not sure if these ones just take an extra long time to grow, and that's why they need 17 years. I'm not sure the ecological, you know, significance of why that long. But then, you know, and then they all come out at one time too.
I don't get that part either. So does one wake up the others, or how does it work?
So they're, like we were talking about with the trees, they can count the years, but then...
Okay, how can you count the years?
They're smart bugs, apparently, insects. And then the four coming out on which particular day of the 17 years is all based on soil temperature. So once the soil temperature is 65 degrees for 2 weeks, they're just really good at reading those biological cues and environmental cues.
So are they all boys and girls, or how does that work?
Yep, they're both male and female. Only the males will sing. So basically, they live only a couple weeks as an egg, then they live these 17 years as that larval stage, and then they only live 4 to 6 weeks as an adult.
Okay, this is terrible news.
So once they hatch, really, they're just trying to find a mate. They don't spend much time eating or doing anything much of else. Once they waited that whole 17 years, then they come out, and that's why they're sounds like screaming to me, screaming.
So 4 days?
4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, 4 to 6 yeah. weeks.
Yeah.
Still not really worth
very long, no. And I'm sure that's different for different species. I just, that's specifically for these brood 10 ones that are coming.
So that really is amazing, though. Then I really have the question, why are they going through that, not larva stage, what'd you call it?
Their nymph stage.
Their nymph stage. Why do they go through that for 17 years?
Yeah.
And then they only live 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, and remember, there's two types, right? The periodical and the annual. So there's about 3,000 species of cicadas, and only 7 do this crazy long life cycle. So I'm not totally sure why. That's a good question. I don't know if even, you know, if scientists who study this can give us an exact why. Once they do come out, it's obviously a really happy, good year for all the birds and other predators that will eat insects, because it's basically a free buffet. I just saw a story actually on the internet that a dog had to wear a cone because he was eating all these brood cicadas that were coming out in the person's yard. He had a cicada problem, so they had to put him in, you know, give him some restraints
so
he didn't eat them. So.
Oh, dear. So when I see those shells, basically.
The exoskeleton? Yeah.
Yes, when I see those in my yard, I guess I would have thought those are just dead bugs, but they're not.
Nope. So when the actual adult cicada dies, you'll be able to see like all of those wings. It'll have more of the color of the cicada. This one's a little bit harder to see, but they do have a little bit of green and black, and sometimes their eyes are red. So it'll have some of that color. These exoskeletons are just that weird brown, kind of clear color.
And how do they get out of there and keep their skeleton intact?
Yeah, so it's almost like if you picture, like, when I was a kid and, like, Hulk Hogan, like, you know, ripping the shirt. So they almost outgrow it, right? So it gets really, really tight. So they're just splitting it down the back. So if you look down the back, there's that little split. And then they just slowly pull themselves out. It takes, you know, 5 to 6 hours to pull all the way out of it. Yeah, so they just really carefully pull out because they're super soft too, right? They're taking off their skeleton and they have to harden a new one. So when they first come out, they're super, super soft. So they have to be really gentle and careful. And then they'll just hang out on the tree right by where they emerge out of their exoskeleton while their stuff hardens up another layer. And then they'll take off.
So they will wiggle out, not underground. They'll come out of ground and then wiggle out.
Yeah, come out as a nymph, latch on to a tree bark or a side of a house or anything like that, and then they'll come out.
So where did you find that?
I think this one is just from a tree. At Carpenter Nature Center. Yeah, once you get looking for them, you can find them.
So they will stick to the tree, some of them, even though there's not a little bug in them anymore.
Yeah, so their legs have little tiny barbs on them, and most insects do. It's how they grip onto stuff in the wind or in anything like that in the rain. They can hang upside down under the leaves. So they have these little barbs. It's almost like Velcro being able to stick. And so even though the insect is coming out of the shell still has those barbs. So it'll hang on if nothing knocks it off.
Abby, how do I not know anything about nature?
You know what, Ma? Last time you asked me a question I didn't know, and I have to say that's one of the best parts about my job, really, is like you can never know everything about everything. So one of the best parts about working at Carpenter and being a naturalist is like always having that curiosity and be able to say I don't know, but let's, you know, figure it out together. So it's cool to not know everything, right?
So were you fascinated by this 17 year thing too?
It's amazing. I honestly, okay, if I wasn't out of town last week going somewhere else with my family, I would have driven down to, you know, Ohio. To see them. Yeah, I would have. So there's, I would love to see it sometime. Just like how amazing to see all these. And they don't bite you. They don't bite and they don't sting. So literally, even though it might be kind of creepy and give you the heebie-jeebies to see all of them.
I just don't like how they look. Oh, they are?
Oh, yeah, they're creepy. They're for sure. But that's all right.
They look prehistoric almost with their big eyes.
Mm-hmm. They really do. And they're just like they can be pretty loud too. Like even when they fly by you, they're just a big insect with big wings
and big eyes.
Yeah,
big buggy
eyes.
Which
is good so you don't get eaten.
That's true. So at 4 to 6 weeks, they will all die, which is terrible news. But in the meantime, they will breed and then lay eggs. Will they lay those eggs underground? They must.
Most of the eggs, though, will just fall from the trees. And then they spend only, like, 6 weeks as an egg. And then they'll, I think on just on top of the soil, because they don't have any way to dig, right? So they'll be up in the trees. That's where they mate, so their eggs will fall. And then they'll hatch into the nymph, and the nymph will dig down into the soil.
Again, how crazy, and how does the nymph know to do that?
I think it's just instinct, right? Like, you even think of when, like, sea turtles hatch on the beach. They know to go to the ocean. Just, it's very instinct. And I think that they're designed, right, to be underground for 17 years. So it might be uncomfortable to be above ground when you're not ready.
How far under do you think they are?
Well, so they're drinking the sap, tapping into the root system of trees. So I would imagine they could go fairly far, depending on what type of tree, you know, they're tapping from. Because different trees, sometimes the roots grow out or they grow down. I would guess that they're below the frost line, at least. So, you know, the frost line is usually 6 inches or more. So they probably go at least that far underground.
And do they like certain trees more so than others?
No, I don't know that either. For some reason in my head, I'm thinking maple trees, but I don't think that's the only tree that they will go on to.
This is just crazy.
I know, right?
I learned so much today, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, and it's awesome, too. I knew a little bit about cicadas, but it's fun to, you know, every time we talk about something, I get a chance to refresh myself and learn new information as well.
So what's next for you as a naturalist? Are you going to be able to get out and about?
Yeah, so we just did a school this morning. We got to teach kindergartners, about 75 kindergartners, a class where you talk about move like the animals. So we bring out different ones and examine their body shapes and how they move through their environment that way. But coming up, we have a bunch of programs too Carpenter. So we do have our regular monthly story time next Friday from 10 to 11. We have an awesome program actually that we tried a couple summers ago, which is yoga on the river bluff. So you bring your own mat, you get that awesome view at Carpenter. From 6 to 7. So those are Mondays for the next couple months. We have a geocaching program coming up on the 27th of this month. A butterfly walk. So actually, he's a very awesome bird expert, but he's actually super good at butterflies too. So he's coming and just is going to try and catch some and identify them for you and talk all about them. Super talented and intelligent man is going to do that. So that's June 26th. And then we also have a plant ID hike. So if insects aren't your thing, those were a couple insect ones at our Wisconsin campus, and which is a good reason to get out and see the other one. We have a prairie plant ID hike. So with another awesome professional from Prairie Enthusiasts is coming to lead that one.
Abby, so fun. Abby Holden, she's an outreach naturalist at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center. Do visit them. They are open almost every day. How many days a year?
Well, I think it's 362.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Almost any day.
Yeah.
If they're not open, you don't want to go. So great to see you. Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.